Hey everyone, this is Eliza D, and welcome back for another episode of How to Save the Planet, a show where we interview people who have jobs in climate change or environment. Now, let's get started. With us today, we have Josephine Strauss. Josephine is currently in her third and final year at the University of Washington School of Law in Seattle. During her tenure as a law student, she has been a member of the Environmental Law Society, International Law Society, and Women's Law Caucus. She is a member of the UW's National Environmental Law Moot Court Team and is the Chief Managing Editor for the Washington Journal of Environmental Law and Policy. Upon graduation, she hopes to pursue a career in environmental litigation. Hello and welcome, Josephine, to How to Save the Planet.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. So what are you studying in school?
So I'm currently in my third year at the University of Washington School of Law. As part of that, I'm, you know, obviously studying doctrinal classes concerned with general law practice, but I do have a particular interest in environmental law and have made it a goal to take more environmentally minded classes. Last quarter, I took water law, and this quarter, I'm focusing more on experiential learning through externships. And I'm currently externing with the King County Prosecutor's Office in the Civil Division, which handles land use and natural resources.
Cool. What got you interested in law / environmental law?
It's a great question. So when I was in sixth grade, my middle school, which was in Denver, Colorado, was very climate-minded, which was unusual for the time. And I only knew very little bit about climate change at that age. People weren't as open about talking about it back then as they are now. And it was something that scared me. I was, you know, a little kid who didn't quite understand the world, and climate change is a scary thing when you hear about it for the first time. And I really wanted to be part of a group that confronted that issue and did my best to make sure that I wasn't leaving the planet in a worse condition than when I found it. And obviously we have our work cut out for us for that, but I really do want to make it a goal to help our, you know, economy transition to a clean economy, specifically in, you know, renewable resources, and as well as, you know, having that social justice, environmental justice perspective and how we look at things like hazardous waste cleanup and clean water and fresh water and just in general energy production.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you have any plans after you complete law school?
So currently in the job market, but I am hoping to do something in the environmental law realm. Ideally, it'd be something more litigation or advocacy minded. I would really love to be in the courtroom at some point and to be an advocate for, you know, things that I believe in. So hopefully a litigator.
Cool. Can you share some of your experiences around protecting the environment?
Yes. So from the law school perspective, it's a little bit different since you're not necessarily, you know, doing more as hands-on, like planting trees and, you know, doing stuff like that. It's more things happening behind the scenes and, you know, arguably on screen if, you know, you're someone who watches legislative sessions and stuff like that. But I've really made an effort to be part of interest groups within the law school that focus on environmental issues, specifically the Environmental Law Society. And we usually do a yearly project with our children. And if you don't know, that is the nonprofit that was handling the Giuliani case, which was the, I believe, 20 or so juvenile young people who were suing the federal government over climate change and its impacts on them as a generation and future generations after that. So really fantastic doing some projects with them my first year of law school. And since then, a lot of my work in terms of environment advocacy has been through working on the Washington Journal of Environmental Law and Policy. As a journal this year, I'm on the leadership board, and we've really made it a goal to be more socially justice minded in our articles that we accept and asking our authors to have some sort of environmental justice component so that our readers are getting exposure to those issues, since those are issues that historically haven't been dealt with in the most effective way.
Yeah. Cool. What do you have to say on climate justice and how does that tie into your studies?
Absolutely. Climate justice is an incredibly important aspect of, you know, confronting climate change and really resolving the discrepancies in how we handle waste and how we, you know, confront the climate issue. So many communities that are, you know, poor or communities of color have really faced the brunt of climate change without the resources to confront it. And a big part of that is recognizing not only the struggles that they're having right now, but recognizing that historical struggle as well, and meeting them where they are to help make that easier and help them meet those issues and meet those challenges. I think it really does tie significantly into my studies, especially from the energy perspective. You know, large oil refineries right now really impact, you know, our Native American communities, especially those fighting pipelines that are threatening to cross their land. And I know recently the Biden administration has put the end to some of those pipelines, but that hasn't stopped all pipelines. And so those communities, especially, you know, turning to clean energy and finding alternative methods for powering our economy, I think will be huge in, you know, helping make reparations to those communities. But also communities that, you know, because of real estate prices or land costs, they're located closer to hazardous waste sites or to where refineries, you know, do a lot of the more toxic part of their processing. Like those communities especially have been hugely impacted by environmental harm and climate injustice just because of, you know, economics has forced them to live in a place that, you know, isn't the healthiest place to live in and has definitely been tossed aside and polluted into, you know, a very not friendly area.
Yeah. And I would add systemic racism onto that too, because this society has not absolutely always accepted people of color.
No, absolutely. You're completely right.
Yeah. What encouragement or hopeful thoughts could you give our listeners around solving this climate crisis?
That's a really great question. You know, it is something that's very serious, and I would never want to underscore the severity of the situation. However, I think there's always something that everyone can do to kind of play their part. Whether that is, you know, if you're a young person, like, and you feel like you have a lot of power, you do. You just, you know, need to find your voice, but also doing small things like reminding your parents if you go to the grocery store, like, bring a reusable bag. Don't just, you know, use the paper or the plastic bags that the grocery stores offer. Do small things to play your part. Get one reusable water bottle. And use that instead of going through lots of plastic water bottles. That is if you're, you know, a privileged person and you live in an area where the municipal water is clean enough to drink. You know, there are a lot of communities in our country that don't have access to fresh water, specifically, you know, the crisis in Flint, Michigan, that has been a problem for many years. It is a privilege to have drinking water. And it's something most people in our country take for granted, and people in other communities, you know, don't have access to that. So if you have access to clean, you know, drinking water through the faucet, that's a really great way to help reduce plastic waste. But also think about what you want to do with your life, with your career, with your future. You know, many people at the beginning, about what you want to do with your life. You know, doesn't have to be going into software. That's a great career, obviously. But if you want to go and be an activist or be a scientist, those are great career paths. And I'm sure there'll be lots of jobs in renewable energy development or in other science fields that focus on solutions to climate change. And don't be afraid to be creative. You know, there's no limit to the possibilities the impact you can make. So really think about how you want to see the future and be part of the group that makes the change.
Yeah. Yeah. What advice would you give to people going into the environmental law field? I know that you don't currently have a job in court, but as a student, what can you say to those people?
Yeah. You know, it's really easy when you're in law school to want to take the job at the law firm that, you know, right now maybe represents polluters and isn't representing, you know, the nonprofits or is not a public interest organization. And, you know, that's fine. Everyone has decisions they want to make. And, you know, at some point in the future, I really do think law firms are going to be an important body in helping some of our biggest polluters transition to cleaner practices. But it's really tempting to follow the money, but also remember that at the end of the day, like, what are you fighting for? So don't be afraid to, you know, save a little money during the year, which I know is something very privileged to be able to say. A lot of people have expenses that they have to, you know, take into account. But if you have the ability to work for a nonprofit for less money or for no money over the summer, or to work for a public interest organization focused on community advocacy in terms of access to clean water, access to basic human needs, take advantage of that privilege.
What encouragement or hopeful thoughts could you give listeners around solving the climate crisis?
Yeah, I think, you know, for many people who are, for our younger people, really think about what you want to do with your career and your future. You are at a point right now where the world is your oyster and it is what you make of it. So be really intentional with how you want to make an impact and make sure you don't feel that you're being limited by what society tells you to do. It's really easy to go into a position just because a parent or a teacher says you'd be good at it. But if you feel really passionate about something, don't be afraid to take that path. You know, I had a lot of friends growing up who wanted to be scientists and maybe were discouraged for various reasons. But if you want to be a scientist who is working on developing alternative fuels, go do that. If you want to be an advocate, being the Stacey Abrams of your generation, like, go be that person. Don't let the world limit you.
Yeah, that's really great advice. Thank you so much for coming on to How to Save the Planet. I had a great time talking with you.
Yeah, this was great.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us today for another episode of How to Save the Planet. See you next time.